You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Lamborghini chalai jaane o Lamborghini chalai jaane o sanu vi judda de do
ithe kalle kalle jaane. Welcome to Axe to Grind, the hardcore podcast. I'm Patrick.
I'm Bob.
And I'm Tom.
And gentlemen, I'm using a wood fire stove. No, wood stove.
Wood stove.
Wood stove to heat the domicile that I'm in. And
Me and Bob think this new drug charge is going to sound like Bon Iver.
That's right.
You know what? I don't know what it's going to sound like because I haven't.
Like a lot of ukuleles yet. And shit.
I haven't.
Brokeback drug church. Let's go.
I've been sitting on a couch in the control room. Nobody shared a song with me yet.
You've been there for a week?
I've been here for a week. Don't know what the songs are.
What have they done?
No, they recorded. You know what I mean? They're doing their thing. They're just it's like a surprise.
Oh man.
Yeah, I'm scared. I'm scared. If the songs are slow, I quit.
If the songs are slow, he quits. Everybody, thank you to our sponsors, Run for Cover Records.
Short, Fast, and Loud.
To Live a Lie.
Loud, Fast, Short.
Convulse Records.
What was the, Tom, help me out. What would it be?
Young, Loud, and Snotty?
Blarg Comp.
Young, Loud, and Snotty, sure.
And the Immortal Closed Casket Activities.
And that's Young, Loud, and Scotty, like the Lifetime song.
Hmm. Oh, I was going to say Smart and Final.
All right.
Smart and Final. Big Lots. Everybody, it's like the second week of January. Everyone's figuring out what they're doing this year. We're telling you right now, do us a favor. Do yourselves a favor. Go back to each of these fine record labels. Run for Cover Records, To Live a Lie Records, Convulse Records, Closed Casket Activities. Go to their respective websites, Instagrams, Twitters, X, whatever, Facebook, whatever. Find what you missed in 2023. Let us know about it. Go buy it. Let's go. Thank you to all of them. We love them. They're great. How you guys doing?
And actually, it's not just an ad read. Sincerely, tell us if there's something that we haven't mentioned from these labels that you think deserves a spotlight. Because, you know, we pump them every week, but sometimes there's these stealth releases that don't make our radar because it's not something that we immediately go listen to ourselves. You know what I mean? So tell us if there's something that you think was hot in 2023 that might've gone overlooked.
How you guys doing? How you feeling?
If it wasn't, you know, wood fire stove aside, doing okay.
First thing first, Tom, how you doing in the BK? Or did you avoid snow or did you get snow?
Very little snow in LIC. But yeah, no, you know, it wasn't bad. It like looked nice out the window, but none of it sucked, which is important.
Oh, that's good. Yeah,
how about the shore?
Nothing. All rain here.
No. Well, we got flakes. It just didn't stick, which is nice.
Yeah, that's not bad. Just ideal. Rain here. Patrick, how's the United States of America treating you?
Tell us what's wrong with us and everything that you don't see why everyone's making such a big deal out of it. You've been here for 72 hours.
Happy January 6th to you, Patrick.
It's a bunch of deplorables up in Juniper Hills, I'll say that.
Are this near like where like Drake lives? Like what's going on?
No, it is not where Drake lives. No. It is Antelope Valley, which respectfully to our listeners who are struggling with or in recovery from drug addiction. Antelope Valley, I learned, is a spot where I guess state-run rehabs kind of let out. It is it's rougher than I anticipated. how do I say this delicately? it's rougher than I anticipated, but the house that I'm in is, it's a studio and it's a home, owned by Alex Estrada, who, listeners of this podcast will know from his musical endeavors, very strange musical mind. I don't know if you fellas know him personally. He is, a like dedicated vegan kind of, crust is sort of his, orientation, but musically his life is prong. He is, interesting fella. It's his studio. He's not here at the moment, but, he's allowed us, the space, and it's, going very well. I would recommend I'm going to complain about this stupid fucking wood fire, but I would recommend to anybody, to perhaps do their record here because it's, turning out really good.
Are you going to the Devil's Punch Bowl or what?
I'm going down to the Palmdale train station, which, was, like a 20 by 20 room that, if you, it was like a, you know, that scene in, Nightmare on Elm Street where he's in, where it shows the insane asylum that is, Freddy's mother worked. That's what.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. Love a good, bus depot. You're just getting a little taste of home, buddy.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the United States of America. Thanks so much. What do we got? What's going on with hardcore? How we doing? 2024 off to a bang or?
FYA looks popping. That's usually the beginning of the calendar. It's the Syracuse show first, obviously.
Right.
Yep.
Feels like the only show that happens in New York, in America on New York, January 1st. There might be others. That looked fun.
Let me talk on this for 1 second. I'm going to say something crazy. All right. FYA looks great. It looks really, really fucking fun. I'm going to say something now that we alluded to or said directly on an earlier podcast that is a pure matter of opinion. Are you ready? And I want to preface it with that because I don't want our listeners to write us something wild.
I can't wait.
Tom, I don't speak for you. I don't think necessarily on this, but I think Bob and I have made our position here clear. I have negative interest in seeing Dying Fetus at a hardcore show. Negative.
Yeah.
That said, this is what this, if I could just ask you to everybody to please carry the energy I'm carrying, which is it still made me happy to see people happy.
That's right. That's exactly right.
I was reading all the commentary about it and shit. And I was like, I couldn't give a goddamn what happens to Dying Fetus, but it's nice to see kids having fun.
Now, absolutely. It's like walking past a Golden Corral and just seeing a bunch of people having their best life, just living, pouring soda on the floor, throwing up.
I gotta love it.
It's gross. Good job.
You maybe they're buying a calendar on like a nice, like, yeah.
It's just gross. Go for it. I love it. I love that you love it. Yes, that is the correct energy. And that is how 2024 dislike should be handled. Dying Fetus, no, I don't like them. I don't care. But I like that people are getting a chance to really enjoy it. I do hope that there was some railing going on in the bathroom. Like, how good would it be if there were just like three or four couples just going at it by the urinals?
Right, like they had it set up that it's like, yo, as soon as they start, that's our shot. Like
Hound Town, just going crazy. Love it. So heard that was what was going on at FYA. Tom, what an amazing point to talk about the hardcore calendar. Like these weird...
I feel like, you know, and then there's like the Summerfest is like, you know, Sound of Fury. This is hardcore. Like
United Blood used to be the Spring Break Fest.
Right, LDB is like kind of the Spring Break
Fest. Yep.
Is there anything towards the end of the year? I mean, the Triple B stuff is usually at the end.
RIP, America's Hardcore, which is usually first weekend of December.
Right. And now they do stuff in Brooklyn, which is like usually the fourth quarter. Yeah.
The back to school jam was always kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So that's interesting. Okay. I like it. I like the hardcore calendar.
It's like milestones.
FYA does seem like it was lit.
Where do we land on the lights on, lights off thing? Because I'm full lights off.
Lights off.
Man. Yeah. Lights off. Especially daytime hardcore fest. You have to So I've got some feelings, but go in first, Patrick.
I like that Drain does it, but only because it's an intentional vibe that they are very committed to. I don't actually
because they're a beach band.
Yes, and also
just like the sunshine.
I mean, you know what? I hadn't even connected it like that, but that totally good.
It makes sense.
It makes sense enough. Also, those crowds are super wild. So on some, in my mind, old man style, I'm thinking liability shit.
Let's you're on this liability.
Yeah. Yeah, I am. But whatever the thing is, I like that they own that's their sort of thing. That said, I actually aesthetically hate it. And I really wish that the lights were off at all times. You don't got to be one of these fucking tacky as fuck, black metal bands that has two candles on stage. I just think that it's there's firstly, I think, you know, listen respectfully to. Does my respectful tone come across on this podcast, by the way?
No,
occasionally.
Okay. All right. Well, respectfully to all the festivals that invite my bands to play, I'm very, very grateful, and I'm sincere. That's sincere. I like those things, and I have a good time. That said, I hate playing outdoors during sunlight. It's disgusting. Secondly, but that's on me. That just means that I've got to become Judas Priest so I can headline and play post 9 p.m. That's on me. That's my. I'll work towards it. But I get the fucking lights out. Rock music of any stripe. Whether that be, guitar rock, classic rock, album rock of a certain era, whether that be noise rock, whether that be punk or hardcore, it was all meant to be played in a sub 500 cap room with no lights. That's what it is. So, yeah. I apply the same thing to Alice Cooper. You know? So just stop. I don't need production and I don't need the lights on. Just get, you know, a couple lights. If the venue owner is drunk, maybe we're going with some strobes, you know what I mean? Until somebody tells them no, but just it is. So I don't love that about FYA. I mean, I like it if they're trying to own that in some way. I think that's okay.
I mean, it's got a vibe. Like, you it know, does. It's an FYA show. And it's also true. A giant room with giant windows. So like most of the open, like, but every band before like 7:30 is going to be playing in some kind of bright area.
So that's my big thing is that, you know, this is not a question other than for the festivals that happen during the day. Right. So speaking with some history, if not authority on this, but just having done this, you keep most of the lights off. If you're in a room that has at least decent lighting coming in, you get a couple stage lights. You know what I mean? You make it so that people can see the band, but the rest of it, you just don't want to be, I don't know. It feels like some sort of evacuee camp, like everyone's getting a vaccine shot in an emergency situation when all the lights are on in a big room like that. That's I give credit to the place that we did the first two Sound and Furies, the Alpine. We kept the lights low during the day, the early sets, but there was enough ambient light that made it very visible and still had a couple stage lights so you could see the band really well. You know what I mean? It wasn't like people were walking around in pitch black at 2 in the afternoon in Ventura, California, you know?
Sure.
So you just, you know, it's hard. But then, to be honest, haven't been to that venue that FYA is at. It might be a cave, you know, and that's another set of issues. So you're not wrong. I will say this. A smart photographer could take advantage of the lights being on during the middle of the day at FYA. You get some nice black and white photos that are really clear. You get good resolution. You know what I mean? You just get nice lighting. But overall, it's tough to see. It's tough. It's a tough see. I mean, the worst example than FYA is when you have lights on at the fucking drop ceiling VFW. Like, that's the worst. That's some real depressing reality hitting you in the face.
Now here's a question. I have not been to this venue, I do not think. Give me an idea. How many windows are we talking?
At FYA?
Yeah.
Oh man.
Tom's like, how do we turn into a venue architecture podcast?
An old man, like, I mean,
are they high?
Beautiful giant venue.
Yep.
There's at least one side I think has windows, if I remember correctly.
Glazer, right? The Glazer Center.
Yeah, owned by the guy that owns the family that owns the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Yeah. So let's not get too mean.
Let's get some info on this.
But right, I think like one side is like one side of the venue, you're like coming in through like the vestibule, so that's all like just wall. Mm-hmm. And I feel like if I remember correctly, the other side has windows.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, so, that looks right. I'm looking at her now.
So I guess my question is, for less than $1,000 or for more than $1,000, could I get the type of filter screen?
Have your bar or a bat mitzvah for sure.
Absolutely. that they use for film. Could you roll something over these windows so you could make the entire room green rather than sunlight? Could you do it red?
Yeah, only for Pat's set though. So if you want to take that out of your drug chart, guarantee.
Oh, I found the floor plan and capacity chart. Okay.
All right. Thank
you. Okay. No, this is looking good.
It's got a rug, which is very forgiving on your feet.
That's good. Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Nice. I was talking about.
There's a bar in the middle of the pit.
Oh, pardon me? Weird. Okay.
There's a bar. like a drink, like, yeah, like, because it's not meant for hardcore shows, it's meant for like bar mitzvahs and Sweet 16s and stuff. Oh. But you can sit behind the bar, like, and I watched a show, some of the bands from like the back of the room, like sitting like at like a cocktail table. It was wonderful.
Okay. All right,
that seems great.
It's a giant space. It's a great time. I mean, it's the weather was nice the last time, usually, you know. Sometimes it's we played one year and I had to wear the same winter coat that I wore in Brooklyn in Tampa, and I was kind of bummed.
Yeah, that's sure. Super disappointing. Come on,
Floyd. I was like, I want to wear shorts, and I'm like, no, you're not, you dickhead. It's the same fucking weather it is in New York. I'm like, this is a bummer.
Yeah, that's not great.
It's like such a bummer. I'm wearing the same jacket.
Yo, here's one question, Tom. Did it feel like it took over the entire building, like the entire space, or just a part of it?
I would say most of it, because it's like there's the merch area is pretty big.
Okay.
There's like an entry foyer that you go in and like
the grand entry. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It takes over a good portion of it.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Yeah. So I think the Armory Ballroom is probably, I'm looking at the
and you used to have like famous mostly, like NWA wrestling things there in the 70s. Like Dusty Rhodes used to wrestle there.
That's cool. That's really cool. Shout and out. Apparently shout they have out a bunch
of stuff on the wall.
Well, in FYA, out Florida having cold weather. In New World Man, in Combust, killing it. In FYA in general, shout out to Bob Wilson. Shout out for putting on a cool fest. Trapped Under Ice set looked really fun. Do you think we'll ever get more Trapped Under Ice music, like recorded music?
Yes.
Yeah, I do.
Because Baltimore's like a creative place kind of thing.
I just think that, you know, listen, I don't want to put words in the man's mouth or whatever. I just think that specifically Justice needed to explore other creative endeavors and then get the validation of
come back
of, oh, yo, that's lit. And that, and only then can you really come back to the other thing, because he doesn't want to live in Trapped Under Ice. He just wants to be in the band Trapped Under Ice. You know what I mean? So sure. I think that, doing Angel Dust on the level that he has means that, yeah, I think he feels
it's become so successful.
Yeah, I think after a certain point,
he doesn't feel like he's like leaning on TUI for.
Yeah, because that's not a good feeling. Like you ever think about this? Like guys that they try other shit, it doesn't go, and then it feels like a walk back rather than a fun visit. You know what I mean?
How many bands have we seen do that?
Yeah, exactly. Mm. So I think
we've had episodes about that.
Yeah. And we've had very long conversations before hitting record about that. I think that there's no doubt that Angel Dust is its own entity with a successful identity of its own. So I think that now perhaps we're more likely to get new TUI material, if I had to guess.
That's actually such an interesting concept that it kind of like took, like Angel Dust had plenty of success, right? Like,
oh yeah,
this is not, you know, But there was moments early where people still were like, I want TUI, I want TUI, I want TUI, you know? Then it hit a certain point where I think Angel Dust just kind of had their own world.
There's a generation.
Ups and downs, peaks and valleys. Yeah, yeah, you're right, you know? That's so interesting.
And I wonder, I mean, there's a generation of, like that Justice is the dude from
Angel Dust. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean,
and I wonder how much, I mean, obviously the Turnstile connection helped, but I'm sure an Angel Dust connection helped keep TUI right where they were.
No, definitely.
No fault. They might have gotten bigger.
Oh, I think the Angel Dust connection tapped them into a lot of people who might have written it off as something else, but it's like, wait a second, that's the dude from Angel Dust's hardcore band? Oh, cool. Oh, right. Well, I know he's cool. Like, he's some doofus. Like, let me check this out too. Oh, this is hard, but I love it, you know? So interesting. The reciprocity of Angel Dust and TUI. Who'd have thunk it? So guys, it's still the beginning of the year. Let's milk some of these beginning of the year content topics. What do you think was the pervasive trend of 2023? Like, what was the wind blowing hardcore punk adjacent wise in 2023? And then we can prognosticate about 24 if you feel up for it.
Oh, I'd love to.
I mean, I think more street punk.
Interesting.
The overwhelming kind of vibe in a lot of 2023.
Yeah, yeah.
Music got either more melodic that way or more ignorant mosh. I feel they went in divergent extreme paths. Mm.
Can I call an audible and bring in a guest for 1 second?
Sure. We will return to this because Tom made. Great.
Well, this is on the topic. So this is John Markson, who's currently recording me, who recorded a lot of hardcore bands over the last 24 months and could probably give his insight as to John, we're talking about trends at the moment for 2023, what you thought might have been the dominant trend of that moment. I'm going to give you these headphones and allow you to talk to these gentlemen about your experience.
Okay, sure.
And maybe give your credentials a little bit.
Can we hear me?
Hey, John, we got you. Don't even worry about the credentials too much. We know people know who you are. Don't worry about Patrick's stuff. Give it to us. What are you hearing out there on the streets?
In regards to what? Just rephrase it to me. Let me hear it coming from your mouth.
Yeah, somebody a little more straight. Yeah. What were some of the prevailing sonic trends in punk, hardcore, adjacent, and otherwise in 2023?
Prevailing trends. It's hard for me to say. I feel like this is a little more broad than maybe you're asking, but I feel like I noticed a trend with just a general veer towards songcraft, you know? There seemed to be like a more emphasis on the song and than maybe I had noticed in the past. I know, again, that's a little watery and a producery kind of thing to say, but I don't know. I just felt like I really liked the songs this year.
Even in hardcore, not the more melodic stuff you...
Yeah, I would say so. I'd say there's like a way more sophisticated and natural approach to like using all these different, you know, moves and languages that hardcore and punk have been developing for so long. And doing it with like a self-awareness to it that works in the song and not just for its own sake, you know?
No, I think that leans into some of the things that we're talking about too. It's interesting because how do you play that? How do you play songcraft into bands who are essentially writing like thud music, you know?
Yeah, I don't know. I just feel like it's the maturation of the craft and the history of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sonically? I think that's probably true because I think we have people writing beatdown music who still have an idea of music outside of that genre. You know what I mean?
I think so. I recorded a band that has been referred to me as a beatdown band this year. This band Karma, whose record's coming out next year, And even in music that on its face, the first time I was exposed to it, felt like, as you just so eloquently called it, thud music. they were really clever with how they were writing their songs in ways that has, you know, opened me up to stuff. And their influences and the music they only talked about was rap and R&B the entire time. Maybe like the metal kids in the band were also, you know, talking about shred music, but you know what I mean?
Sure, sure, sure. No, I do. I think that's sort of, that spins it a different way. Cause Tom said a couple of things that we're seeing more sonically. We're seeing hearing a lot of street punk, which I agree with. And also extremely heavy. And I agree with that as well. And I think that kind of pull in, cause even in the more punky punk stuff, there's just so much melody. Like, I'm not going to lie. And Tom, I'd love to hear your opinion. The lines between oi street punk kind of stuff and pop punk are not that far.
I mean, a haircut is the biggest difference.
quite often. And then how forceful your singing is just a little, like, are you going a little gruff and, or are you just trying to hit the note, you know?
I mean, think about like even Drug Church.
Sure.
If Pat put on 100 pounds, probably started drinking, shaved his head, and the rest of the band like followed him in kind, could you picture them being like considered like an oi band? It's not that far off.
I don't know. It's so outside the realm of possibility. Actually, it's not outside the realm of possibility that Pat would put on 100 pounds somehow.
I mean, but, I don't know. Once he gets he gets married, he gets happy, you know.
Right.
Starts having to work at the mine, you know. There we go.
You know what? I can see that. Again, I'm literally watching this man build a beautiful fire to heat himself. He's returning to the earth. Yeah.
John, thank you. It may
suit him. Oh yeah, no problem. Happy to be here.
We appreciate
Patrick here. You're being
back. Thank you, Pat.
Thank you, John.
Yes, sir.
Hello,
Patrick. You get to now agree or disagree with your guest's assessment. Do you think there's better song craft?
No, I disagree with him fully. I think songs were butt this year. I disagree fully. John, I don't know if he listed this shit or not. I went and got myself a LaCroix. He recorded, One Step, Koyo, who else, John?
Karma, which I would like to hear.
You mentioned Karma.
Yep. Karma, yeah.
Life's Question.
Really?
Life's Question. Oh,
a thing that's coming up.
See, they're in between. They're a little melodic.
Life's Question is an interesting one.
I'm asking him something off mic. How'd that go? Does that sound good?
Yeah.
Okay. Sure. All right.
We can hear you.
You know, like, this off mic doesn't mean it's not like.
I do love that, Tom. Hold on, I got to ask you something off mic. Is Patrick okay? Is he all right?
No, I don't think he's.
I just cut my hand right here. It's okay.
I don't think he can hear us, but no, he's not.
I like Life's Question. I just wanted to make sure it was good. But
and if John goes, it didn't go so great. What are you gonna do? We gonna cut like
beep.
Well, listen, he could be honest. He'll usually white knights for everything. but he can be honest where he'll be like, well, I found that they were coming at things from a different angle, you know, and you'll be like, sure, okay, sure. All right, I understand. I can read between the lines.
Now, here's the thing I thought was interesting is that. Songcraft, in terms of qualitative, I'm curious about. But in terms of where it's pulling from in range, I do really agree with what John was saying. Because I think we're getting as many external influences as hardcore's ever had. Partly not to say it's like some flourish of creativity, but it's just the way this thing moves. In addition to, I think there's just a broad well. And if you want to go on the con side, there's a little bit of distance from like pearl clutching, only influenced by the 80s hardcore right now.
It's much more genre agnostic than it has been in the past, for sure.
And that's right.
People openly listen to pop music.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
And that's got to seep into your writing. Like Roger Moret's not being like, yo, that Olivia Rodrigo record bangs.
Right.
He might not have said that about Blondie in 81.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're writing Victim and Pain. He's not like, have you heard Men at Work? No, like he's not fucking, But now your favorite, like the heaviest bands in the world are like, yo, man, I'm going to see Bad Bunny.
Yeah, that ain't wrong.
It's all pop music. And I mean, it has to kind of be, you know, kind of, you know, interject itself into your writing.
Sure.
So, a quick aside, because I want to continue on this broader conversation, but a homie and a listener, Justin, hit me the other day out of nowhere. And he was like, oh, sorry to bother. I'm like, dude, this was a great diversion. I actually thought it was a great one. You were forced to listen to one decade of music only for the rest of your life. Anything and everything that came out that decade is fair game. You only get to choose between the 80s or the 90s. Which do you choose?
80s, no question.
90s, no question.
I came out 80s, no question.
That makes sense, yeah.
But, I thought about it a little bit. I was going through it, and I was like, okay, you know what? For me, indie music, 80s over 90s, for me. Hardcore, flip a coin. Probably 80s, but whatever. Rap, 90s, for sure, for me. Pop music, 80s. Adjacent weird Neverland, 80s. Like the new wave stuff, 80s. All that, the Smiths, the Cure, all this stuff, 80s. Rock music at large is tough. Like mainstream rock. But I still probably go 80s. But that one's close.
I mean, you saw that meme that was like, yo, all these records, and it was like a stack of records came out within like 2 weeks in 1991. And it was like,
I know.
Pearl Jam and Metallica and Tribe Called Quest and this. And it was like, fuck.
Yeah, there's a real strong spell there. But I, you know what, Tom?
90s emo or 80s emo?
I go 80s. But it's like so small.
Can I make a confession that will be canceled?
Yeah. Sure.
Gun to my head, if I got to listen to Embrace for the rest of my life or Texas Is the Reason, I'm taking Texas Is the Reason 10 out of 10 times.
I know.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's okay. No, and I think you're in a strong place with that. Quick question for you here, Tom. Metal of the 80s or metal of the 90s? Because to me, I went metal of the 80s because I'm like, early Slayer, all those Metallica records, like, oh my, like, there's nothing. But then I was like, you know what, though? There's a lot of people, if you like death metal at all, there's a lot of that in the 90s.
Obituary records, At the Gates, mm-hmm. Pantera.
That's right.
I mean, there's good Slayer records in the 90s. South of Heaven, I think, may have been 89. Seasons in the Abyss is like 90, 91.
There's a lot of people. No, I know. I'm not a 90s Slayer guy, but there's a lot of people who are.
Yeah, it's tough. I mean, I bet you if you
lined it up. Garage days, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that's right. You know what, though? It's probably not as like cut and dry.
It's not. No, that one was the one that was not.
You know what I mean? Because I think of the 80s, and I'm like, that's cool, but like, would I want to listen to just 80s hardcore? Because at least in the 90s, you can listen to stuff that was 80s influenced and other stuff.
No, that's the part. Hardcore.
You
know,
like, if you want a fast hardcore band, you could be like, oh, I'm just going to put on like fucking like 10 Yard Fight or fucking.
Yeah. Right. Exactly right.
And scratch every itch that you needed from the 80s, and then it's other stuff.
Yeah. You lose out on post hardcore of the 90s variety for sure. Like, I'm missing Quicksand, you know?
Right.
But hardcore is another one. I think hardcore, flip a coin. Metal. I'm going 80s, but I'm willing to hear people's arguments for the 90s.
Yeah, I'd like that. I would like to hear that. Like, see what people say. Like,
Patrick, make your argument because you said 80s, no question.
I mean,
best
guitar music, objectively better.
How's that though? I don't know. That's not
music objectively better. So I think rap is the only argument that I would be willing to hear. Really. I think, you know, look, if you wanted to say guitar, pure guitar music, what's the best decade? You might say 70s, right? But
correct all day.
But if we're just saying holistically the idea of the guitar as employed in any rock arranged band, I'll take the 80s over the 90s. And I love a lot of 90s music, obviously. I mean, this is not
and
like
I Tom, want to make I this decision. I fall in line there, too, if I was having to choose between them. But if we were to break it down even further, Patrick, mainstream rock of the 80s, like mainstream rock. Like, I'm not a hair metal dude, right? Like, I can talk about the first Motley Crue record. That's pretty good. But I like, in a pop music way, a handful of Guns N' Roses tracks for sure. You know, like a Bon Jovi song. But like, what are the good mainstream rock records of the 80s? U2? Oh,
okay, yeah. The first U2 records are great. Yep. It's, you know, a half
talking Talking Heads or Devo. It's like not quite, you know, calling those mainstream rock feels weird, though they, I guess, would broadly fall into that category.
Right. Well, this is the problem. When I'm thinking about
Born in the USA,
that Bruce was the one that came to mind. Sure, sure.
See, I guess
couple songs.
I guess I'm thinking of stuff that is more. Alternative than that, right? Because I'm
100, well, that's where I fall with everything, like all that stuff. Like, I'm not trying to compare Aerosmith to Goo Goo Dolls. I'm thinking the other. But if I'm being asked, like, to break them out, like mainstream rock of the 80s is kind of butt. Not the mainstream rock.
I don't know.
You know, like mainstream rock of the 90s is literally spawned butt rock. You know, so by the way, is butt rock just the like generational evolution of hair metal?
Yeah, sure. Well, you could also say it's the evolution of album oriented rock, you know? Like, I think we just became tasteless, sure. And then that's what happened.
All right, so anyways, everybody at home, have that conversation for yourself when buddy Justin asked it, before reading him say 80s or 90s, there was a large part of me that thought I was going to go 70s. Like, just like, well, I like pop music of the 70s. I like a lot of rock records in the 70s. I think you get some interesting punk music. I probably still go 80s, but I have a huge affinity for the 70s. That said, off the old person corner, 2023, John made a good point for songwriting, songcraft, rebutted by some. Tom, you brought up both street punk and kind of heavy, like hard mosh, kind of like heavy mosh. Is that right?
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before. I think Beatdown kind of won a few years ago because hardcore migrated heavier. And like stop go mosh parts, like dun, 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 dun. Like those mosh parts no longer get people to turn away if they're strictly a fast hardcore listener. It's like, okay, that's just a part of the whole thing now.
I mean, I think so many bands have integrated that into their sound.
Yes, exactly.
And done it so well, like Never Ending Game.
Yes. I mean, like
super heavy, but there's so much tasteful shit to it.
I mean, look,
if you don't like that style, you could still like them because like, oh dude, there's so much guitar stuff and drum stuff and vocals, like, you don't necessarily need to like the heaviest of hardcore to like them because they bring so much else into that kind of sound.
And we talk about Mind Force enough a lot, but maybe we could talk about them more. I mean, I think about Excalibur. It's like such a perfectly crafted song from several years ago now still, but like
it's a classic now.
Yeah, it's a classic. It really is. God damn. All right. We got 20 episodes off this one already. It has the stop marsh part. Like it's got a, right. Yeah. Right. And
that might not have scratched your itch.
No, but the whole, right. But here's the thing. The song's so perfect. And it's crafted so well. I'm in.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
It's so,
and I feel like more bands bring that into it, that it's kind of, it makes it more interesting to someone who's not necessarily on board for that stuff in a general way.
And so you mentioned the street punk thing. Yes, way more skinheads than we had anticipated in 2023. I think punk music, punk, like, or people trying to incorporate being punk music, found its way back, whether I think that they really knew what they were going for or not.
I think it was bound to happen, though, right? Like, hardcore got so big that,
yeah,
the other people had to come back and be like, nope, this isn't it. It's, you know, 75 caps or nothing.
Right. Well, that and also the sonic parallels from street punk oi that is poppier, has a cleaner production edge, more melodic, catchier choruses, all of a sudden it's a, I'm looking at the same picture, you know, it's the same image kind of with pop punk, and it's not, but it's goddamn close. And then we go to adjacent stuff and it's like, yo, is Drug Church a hardcore band or a punk band? Or like, where would you even, is it closer one than the other? Because, you know, like Drug Church probably is more likely to go on tour with Never Ending Game in 2024 than Bad Religion, but they're touring with Alkaline Trio.
Right, right.
So I don't know, you know? And there's stuff like Military Gun. Military Gun, I might feel more comfortable calling a punk band than a hardcore band. Sonically, you know what I mean?
All these bands are alternative Patrick? Bands to me. It's you know, I've said it a million times on this podcast. I don't fight anybody on this assessment, but they're all just all
of course
bands to me. but yeah, look, it's 80s. respectfully to Tom, it's 80s.
You got pulled down the hole and you're starting to look, I bet.
Yeah, I'm looking and I'm just saying 80s.
We had a full conversation since that conversation. Pat's like, nope, it's the 80s.
Well,
thanks, Dad.
Listen, it's bad Wi-Fi plus
an LED. You winning, son?
So I would like, if it's okay with you fellas, let's do our recap a little bit, but I would like to get to our prognostication because that's always fun.
It sure is. Patrick, we've kind of gone over a few things. What do you think was a prevailing thing happening in 2023? I know it's so hard to look back at way back when yesterday.
Well, it's only hard because I'm going to mess it up with confuse it.
Tom, do you know that quote?
No, what is it?
Way back when yesterday?
No.
Patrick?
No. So
way back when yesterday.
My back
Philly's when best straight edge band.
Yesterday.
Oh, we're all posing.
Come on, Patrick.
I Hate You song?
It's an I Hate You song.
McRed? Okay, so
I hate you. I hate you. I hate you.
So wait, okay. Ask me. Mm-hmm.
I thought it was a fucking Pat Kinlan because that's how we usually get him.
I usually get him with the
lyrics. Sorry.
No. Go on. The prevailing trend you saw last year, sonically or otherwise.
Shopify grows your business no matter how far or big you grow. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Whether you're selling your fans' next favorite shirt or an exclusive piece of podcast merch, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Allbirds, Rothy's, Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/income, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/income now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in.
Was 2023 or was it 2022 that saw kind of the full swing of the adjacent stuff? That was 2022, right?
22, yeah.
Okay. So 2023.
Last year, Jace was on top.
Right. Okay. So Jace was on top last year, perhaps benefiting from the Turnstile moment a little bit, something I had kind of discounted early on and have since walked back in a very big way, seeing that I think that we all benefited from Turnstile in a pretty major way. So what was prevailing this past year? Let's talk about what wasn't, and I'll do.
I feel like Pat was in class and was not paying attention, and now he's trying to kill time.
No. I'm trying to do it by process.
You're like reading different things off the board. The professor,
right, he's like, "Would you like to come up and put your answer on the board?" You're like, "What has changed?"
Listen,
slow walk, standing up, kind of.
No, I'm trying to do it by process of elimination because
you know our teacher's name is Mr. Williams.
Listen, and, I'm bad with these years containing things to years, so I'm trying here. Okay, so I think we all anticipated more bands trying to adapt to the turnstile moment, and we didn't actually see that. We saw a couple bands that were already in that direction, maybe list that way, but we didn't see. I can only think of two kind of purely misguided efforts,
attempts at that. Sure,
yeah.
Right. But do you think we've seen other attempts that like it just didn't like strike us as actual attempts?
Oh,
do you think people are like, I can't believe they didn't like that? People went for it, but it did not like hit us as, oh, you're trying to be turnstile.
Yeah, that could be.
You know what? Sure. And if they did, kudos to them for not being, you know,
you know, like something that wasn't
it's somebody who yeah, copied homework it. Well. You know what I mean? Shout out. Right. We're never mad at you. I'm never mad at the dude who copied the homework but changed 36% enough to make it not plagiarism. Shout out.
Yeah.
But because so, I think Patrick's point is well hit, because I think last year I certainly thought, like, man, Turnstile had such a moment. There's going to be not just copycats, but like we're talking Xerox shit. And didn't really see that instead, which is good, right?
So I've got it. So this is not a cop out. Thank you, Tom. This is the actual fact. This was a transition year between that moment and what I think is going to dominate the next year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, which is I think we're going into heavier material now. I think we're going to be less
welcoming. What a transition.
Yeah, this was a transition year. I think we're going into less welcoming material or less welcoming vibes, more stratified or balkanized scenes. I don't have terribly positive predictions for the next couple of years. Not
did someone get this MF for a scythe? Jesus.
We've talked about this. It's just the nature.
I'm not disagreeing. I'm not disagreeing.
Nature of the thing. You know, all the things that build us up, we then take for granted and we squander. And also, they just don't appeal necessarily to a person who didn't own that moment, who are arriving maybe after that moment, right? So if you kind of were not part of that Turnstile Summer of Love thing, like it didn't appeal to you, or you arrived after it in whatever way, like you arrived at the tail end of it, you want your own identity. You want your own moment. And I think that we are going into another thing where some of the adjacent bands are going to be, you know, I've talked about this. I think that there's going to be a number of them that are grandfathered in. This is me being totally negative, everybody. And I understand I like all your bands that Drug Church plays with. I wish the best for you. I think Scowl might've been the last ones through the door. I think that that whole era might be coming to a close right now. And, Pain of Truth might just be the shit. That might be it. You know what I mean? Not Pain of Truth specifically, although yes, they are going to be, you know, they're going to be dominant, big.
Sure.
But that type of vibe. Now understand what I'm talking about using Pain of Truth as an example, and I'm saying, oh yeah, things are going to be rougher and it's not going to be as good. It's no reflection on Pain of Truth or any of these bands. It's just to say that I think that there's going to be the thing that made hardcore big the last couple years, which was a overall welcoming and harmless vibe, is I think that is coming to a close and is going to be replaced by something that, by virtue of the fact that it is more dangerous, is more exclusive. And once that becomes real enough, and what I mean by that is I'm using this phrase in like a literal way, not in a judgmental way. Every person who is a tourist to subculture loves the trappings of danger. They don't actually want their skull cracked. And when it becomes skull crack time, I think we're going to see an exodus of a lot of people who came in while the vibes were all sunny and positive, you know? And this is my prediction for 2024. Put it in the books.
You know, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Patty.
Right. I was waiting. I want to hear what you had on that, Tom.
I feel like I think it's going to become a time that it's going to like – it's going to be gatekept physically. Rather than being like you can't have, you know, gatekeeping for me and Bob and you were like, yo, you can't have that fucking – that burn 7-inch. Sure. Fucking New Jack, you know what I mean? Or like, you know, that purple burn sweatshirt or t-shirt. I think now it's going to be like, you know, it got so big and it was so welcoming and it was like this, and it was awesome. I mean, there's no, I'd prefer that than anything. But I think some, I'm worried that something bad will happen.
Mm. Well, Tom, can I run something by you? And Bob is a little bit less on this tip than you and I, although we all don't want to see actual violence at shows.
But
I like a good mosh.
Well, that's kind of where I'm going. Is when I say this new era is going to be less welcoming. When I say this new era is going to have a darker vibe and more dangerous energy to it. I want everybody to understand. It's not really a judgment on my part because I'm fine with that.
That's what you liked.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know what I mean?
It's not like you're not a pop punk kid. You're here because you like fucking, you went into a fucking Stigmata your whole life. Like, it's not because you liked fucking, you know what I mean? Like, and to be clear, this is no judgment on any of that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But I wonder, we all hear those stories, those stories of people that are like, yeah, I went to go see this band, but while I was up front, this other band played and I got like my fucking head kicked in and then I stopped going.
I think that we're going to see that culture.
Especially with Nick's Bills.
Yeah. We're going to see that culture clash where it's, hey, why are they doing that? Why are they moshing so hard? That's not the way you're supposed to do at hardcore shows. And then there's going to be people going, what are you talking about? That's how we always dance at shows. Right. No, I've been going to Military Gun. I've been going to Anxious. I've been going to, and I'm using those bands as examples because like
they're fucking hardcore
bands. You know what I mean? But there'll be a separation of church and state in this way where people who I'm not going to say got in through Turnstile, but maybe are more accustomed to a certain style of hardcore show.
Right.
Are migrating into them and not.
Which are wild in and of itself.
Totally. But are not.
They're not violent.
Not violent in that way.
They're like joyous people jumping off the stage and jumping around. It's fucking awesome.
That's right.
Right. Patrick, I'm sure you could feel this. At some point, you're going to have a Drug Church fan come to you and be like, yeah, I love Drug Church, but I went to XYZ show too. And I got my head split open and I just don't think I'm ever going to go to those kind of shows again. You know what I mean? Like that's coming. Like that stuff is going to happen.
I mean, it's already started.
Yes. Sure. So
you hear stories of people like got into it through TikTok and then they're like, oh my God, like, oh fuck. This is like, these are like actual grown human beings doing this to other people.
Right.
Like, this shit hurts.
Now here's my perspective on this. One of these is better for me financially than the other one. So I'm incentivized to let things ride or to say like, if I had to choose, I would let things ride and say, yeah, this is awesome. Like we're getting so many new kids in, the energy is really good. Like, look,
for sure.
We got to talk about the Taco Bell hardcore allegation that's out there.
I love Taco Bell's relevancy in all conversations 2024 so far.
A lot of people were talking about the price gouging, Bob. You were on some.
I saw it. I'm seeing it connected to minimum wages. We're big braining this shit out.
Guys, am I wrong? Or is the moment that something becomes risible or a meme that – that it is, it means that it's
toast.
it's toast, right?
It's so cooked. It's cooked.
So again, yo, this is a sensitive subject, everybody, because I know that there's a lot of bands who put their full self into their music, and I mean this on God, I am not shitting on you. I want you all to succeed. It's just I'm talking about what I'm observing. If I'm wrong about all of it, I'll happily admit I'm wrong when the time comes. I'm just saying that as soon as there is a term for a thing, it means that it's peaked, right? And that now it is okay to say a bad word about it, which it may not have been previously. And
for real, for real.
And Taco Bell hardcore, whether or not you agree, like, okay, a lot of our listeners.
When you can make it one word, like when you have a fucking three word thing that you can describe the whole thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's
so,
over.
So, right. So, everybody, this is not the language that this podcast uses. It's simply a statement of how people talked in 2005. Girlfriend hardcore became a thing. And
yeah,
when that language was applied to something, it meant, oh, we can encapsulate it. We know what it is. It's easily defined. And there's people who are over it. You know what I mean? Like that, and that's what this shift, yeah, that's how these shifts happen. And
right, it's easily shunned. You can be like, ugh.
Yes, right, exactly.
You listen to this, like Gorilla Biscuits was girlfriend hardcore.
Right. And so I think that this is interesting. And I also think that not for nothing, when we're talking about something like Turnstile, obviously Turnstile is going to continue to win. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like the tides changing is going to cost them much. You know what I mean? It's just this phenomenon that all things, you know, there's seasons, right? It's just seasons to everything. And I think that this is a fascinating moment that I wish we could go back a year and the wind was still at my back. Hopefully I'm grandfathered in such a way that, whatever happens, my bands will maintain their fans in whatever way. It's all good either way. But what it is there is a definite change on the horizon, whether it's a 6 month window or whether it's an 18 month window, we're going to see a major transition into a more exclusive. And I don't mean that like people are fucking pricks. I mean more exclusive by the nature of the fact that it's going to alienate someone thing that is going to happen. That's my prediction.
Wow. Doom and gloom.
Doom and gloom. It's just another season. You know what I mean? It's just another.
No, you're not wrong. It's how it turns. And then the big curiosity is what is the reaction and pivot to that? So there's what will the music churn out in that period? What will it be like? Quite often pretty interesting. And then what will be the reaction to it? Will it go the other way? Will we see some, you know, like it's funny because we talk about these bands that are in the in between, you know, life's question. Are they more of a heavy band or more of a melodic band? They're both, you know what I mean? Like I would, if somebody who was coming to me from either side, like, hey, I like exclusively the hardest and heaviest, but I'm curious about something with more melody. Well, first I'm going to point them at something like Crown of Thorns. But then if they're looking for a contemporary thing, I'm going to say Life's Question, you know? If someone who's into the melodic stuff is looking to get into heavy and wants new bands, I'm going to say, yeah, check out Life's Question. So anyways, there's that side. Is this, because Pat, you've been thinking about this in the doom and gloom way for a while. Is this kind of your final thesis? Do you think this is the culmination? And do you think it happens this year? That's the tough question, right?
It's a tough question.
because here, I'll make some points for this. And this is the kind of stuff like, yo, your band's about to go on tour with Alkaline Trio. That's a gigantic goddamn band.
Big band.
Bands, yeah. There's other bands who are getting huge opportunities that are and are not yet discussed. Does a lot of the stuff that's propelling hardcore and hardcore Jason, et cetera, into larger spaces move out of the smaller space, in essence, creating kind of this vacuum or space between the two things?
Yes.
Yes. Right? And then that means that could happen this year, could happen. Yeah, it could happen as soon as very soon. Or, you know, do we see overlap? You know, I think what we are looking at right now is the overlap of the last 2 years. And you know, if you want to go back even further, the overlap of these worlds since right after COVID. And, you know, you can define right after COVID however you want. I mean, when bands started getting out and touring again.
Right.
We're theoretically due for a new Turnstile record, you know, and I'm just going on cycling and what the band has done. Some point, if not this year, beginning of next.
Yeah, there was, he did an interview with Norman Arenas.
Right.
Norman Brandon, I'm sorry.
Wait, Tom, before I get, help me.
Yeah.
Forgive my ignorance. So that fella is, I was just told that fella's playing on Thursday. I didn't know that.
He has in the last couple of years, he's been playing guitar for, he took Tom Thursday's place.
Gotcha. Okay. So I didn't know any of that shit. It would be unfair to say I hadn't thought of him, but I hadn't thought of him specifically. I know, obviously I've thought of his bands, but I haven't thought of him specifically in a minute. Help me out. Did he change his name for a reason that I can ask or no?
I think it's personal reasons. Mostly.
Right. Keep moving.
I believe he's put them out there. In a very specific way, and if you're curious, you should seek that out. But major respect to the dude who has been doing awesome stuff in music, part of Resurrection, part of a little band called Tom Takes Them Over Embrace.
Texas Reason, he was going to want to wait for a bit. He was in.
And Antimatter Fanzine, straight up. Great zine. Great.
One of the classics of all.
One of the first to, like, was that one of the, like, other than the rock and roll, the Maximum Rock and Roll, to bring it to like a more like pro vibe?
I think it's fair. I think he, you know what?
I think
Antimatter is the best example of a, look, let me first say this. My favorite zine of the 90s is Hardware, full stop.
Yes.
Antimatter is the best 90s zine. I think Hardware is a hardcore zine, full stop. Antimatter is a 90s zine that encompasses hardcore and beyond in this really thoughtful, cool way. What he's doing with Antimatter Instagram and, like, I guess, is it a Substack? Whatever, yeah. It is
well worth the subscription.
And honestly, very cool. Very cool. So he interviewed Brendan, and what did Brendan say?
I mean, it was just kind of like, you know, it's actually a real, I mean,
go read it.
You know, they were talking about they were working on new material and stuff, but just like his experience and how, like, yeah, how it hasn't changed that much for him, you know, and like him thinking like people's view of the band and his view of the band are like so different.
I believe it.
You know, and like anyone that's out there, like, and can spare a couple bucks to like read, like, so Norman kind of bridged the gap of the 80s and 90s. So like he was like, in the 80s hardcore scene and in the 90s, you know, emo scene that, like, kind of took off.
Yep.
And like post-hardcore and stuff like that. But like he did this really cool article about like how, like, you know, like the violence in hardcore, like it started as like protecting ourselves from the outsiders. And then at some point it turned inward.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like this like great art. I'm like, fuck, man. Like I never thought of it that way, but it's like, you know, like all those early 80s dudes and, you know, men and women back then were like violent, crazy against like anyone trying to like come in from the outside and fuck with them. And then all of a sudden, like, that got taken care of. So everyone just like looked at each other and were like, well, I guess we're going to beat the shit out of each other now because the other stuff is already taken care of. And it was like, it was very, very poignant and very like sobering.
Oh yeah. Well,
it's like, we're all a bunch of fucking weirdos. Why is anyone fighting anybody?
Well, right. And it's I think it recontextualizes the image of what violence is and what its context is to hardcore, both in dancing and the music and the whole thing, you know. It's a great question, you know. If the concept was, in a literal way, we were fighting the outside world before and now we're fighting each other, how does that play out philosophically, you know? It's interesting, fun thought experiment.
Norman on.
Open invite. I think that's an interesting one, Patrick. I don't think either Tom or me disagrees with being able to see that happen. You know what I mean? Right. Like, we're due for a shift. It's just, my curiosity is, it seems like the carrying capacity of hardcore increased significantly in terms of how many people are coming out to shows. If that remains, we're due for some interesting music and shows will still be cool. But if people are turned away or turned off or tuned out, that's where things, you know, that's where things go fallow.
But I mean, it goes back to normal.
Yeah, it might go back to
true.
Normal.
Right.
Which, I mean, isn't necessarily
normal
fallow.
Wouldn't be bad. No, like, no.
Rich, fucking abundant.
No, but...
You know what I mean? Like, now, like, the biggest fest in the 90s are, like a very good show now.
Yeah, can I say something though? I was enjoying my lifestyle. it was unfortunate that the doors got closed because it was a fun little ride.
Not so well.
It's a Tom. Remember the Trustkill era where you could live off of touring for a short time. I understand, but like
yeah.
And remember,
those were the days.
Remember how it felt?
That's the intro to the last Drunk Church record. Is you guys doing that song?
You know, windows close on everything. People need to be down to earth, and you can only hope that, like, in whatever small way you reach the escape velocity that you can still. That when doors close, you still hang on to the people that like you. But let me just shout out.
I mean, this has existed before. Like, we were talking about Thursday. Like, you know, there was a time that they were going to be the next Nirvana.
Right. Right.
You know what? And they're still doing damn well. 20 years after the big, like.
Yeah, exactly. And
so I mean, there's a way to do this and age gracefully and sort of stick around. Even when, you know, the high tide isn't there anymore.
Well, hold on. I don't want to. I would love for some predictions from you guys. So I don't want to derail this too much and go forever. But here's a question regarding that. Do you think that Thursday persists? And aesthetically,
do you think they'll select me in 2024, Bob? Pat?
No.
My band's gonna do okay.
No. Listen, do you think Thursday persists and a static lullaby does not because Thursday has tracks? Yes or no?
Of course.
Don't say of course because some things that get resurrected, maybe not have careers, but some things that get resurrected have no tracks whatsoever. So it's just a.
I don't know if I buy that though. I feel like anyone who's had any kind of staying power has a couple of tracks. Any of them, any band, you name any band that's like, I'm curious to think who you're thinking of. Like, I think of like bands that, like, you know, like The Bled just played, sold out two nights at La Poison Rouge. Nothing to sneeze at.
No.
They had some hits. They had some, like, if you listen to that record, there's some fucking really good songs on that for like that style of music. Like,
I think this is the bold, they're one of the better. When you talk about The Bled, it's the boldest you get. It's the crazy.
I really dig that one record, man. I really dig it.
I've heard people defend Boys Night Out. I've heard people defend that one of that band's records up and down, and I've looked at them like they're crazy, but I've never in my life heard somebody defend The Bled like you do. It's fucking.
Well, number one, they put us up in Tucson in like 2001. They were super nice to us, but. I like Pat. Have you listened to that record? Bob will fucking hate it. I know for a fact. I can 100% tell you. Like, I get it. Like, yeah. It's not really my style. It just so happens to be like
clicked for you.
This one record that I kind of dig. Pat, have you listened to Pass the Flask?
No, I have not.
Will you for me?
Yeah, of course.
Let's just do it. I think you might be surprised. It's not what you think it is. It's not Boys Night Out.
Okay,
Heavy.
I mean, listen, Boys Night Out might be great too. I don't know. I these are things that I look at. I just, you know, am I judging too harshly? Yeah, probably. That era was kind of alienating, you know. I didn't really get it, but I'm sure that there's.
I mean, you were in your Spock rock era too, though.
There's never Spock. There was no Spocking.
Bob, we have pictures. Why is he acting like that? I mean, we have the fucking. Paperwork.
It was
bro.
Patrick. It was when you were living with that French.
You got your paperwork.
Dude. It was when you were living with that French.
Yeah, I was living in a domestic partnership with that French dude that Tom's always talking about. Listen, it is. It's. I had a bad haircut once. Not the same shit. But. But here's the point.
Some people have had that bear haircut for years. I mean, whatever.
Yeah.
Listen, but I think to stick around this long, you have to have a couple. Like, all right. So I went to go see Glassjaw last week.
Mm-hmm. How was it?
They were great. And you know what, though? They have at least a couple songs that people can't wait to hear.
Wait a second. Tom, I'm not going to drag it out of you, but Bob, did you feel that the way that his voice rose when he said that they were great? That it means that there's a falsehood here. Like, should I get
No. They were legit, like, super impressive.
Okay.
All right, Yes, they are.
They're players.
I mean, the musicians are ridiculous. Daryl's voice is still great. Here's the thing. This is the balls that band has. That, like, I kind of was like, I felt awkward as like watching like a Three's Company show. Mm. So it was their 30th anniversary. So they did their set list was in reverse chronological order. Okay. Start off with a bunch of newer stuff. I mean, newer stuff that came out in 2017. So it's not new. Some other stuff in the middle. They had one major label record. They did like five or six songs off of that. They leave the stage for 15 full minutes. Mm. And their encore was like six songs from the Roadrunner record, which is like kind of the hit.
Yep.
But so they did like 24 songs. Their set time was at 8:10. They were supposed to play for like 2 hours and 15 minutes or something. But the audacity to just kind of be like, fuck them. We're going to wait 15 minutes. Like, what'd you do in that 15 minutes here? You're like, now I'm ready.
Like, what if the story is so practical and it's just like, yo.
Yo, I shot
the one dude had to shit so bad. Yeah. And then he was just like, and to be honestly, he was on like his phone scrolling. He's like, oh shit. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's done it. It's okay. That's what, in my head, that's what happened.
Yeah.
Oh no, I'm sure. But like, there'd be like 15 minutes and nobody left.
Poo scrolling. It's all good.
You know, I mean, maybe, you know, he was checking his parlay, whatever. But like,
FanDuel just
he's FanDueling it up, being like,
just checking what he's got going. It's all right. Good.
I got Giannis for a triple double, and you know, fucking Knicks, you know, Randall's
the Knicks over. You know what I mean? Yeah, let's get this.
But yeah, I mean, it just, you know, every one of those bands of that ilk, the Thrices, like, there's bands like that. The reason why they're still around in any way is because they have minimally a couple of songs
sure
that everybody likes.
Okay. All right. All right.
I don't know what that was apropos of, because we talked for a while.
No. Okay, predictions. And this will come in the form of questions for both of you. Will a band from the hardcore world-ish have a song that gets big? Big in a way that goes outside of the sphere?
Hmm. Yes.
This year, obviously.
Interesting, really? Okay.
Well, here's why. So I have a niece who's a kid. I mean, she's 20.
Sure.
But she's like a mainstream, like, I like, you know, she like paid to go see like Pitbull twice.
Sure.
And at over the weekend, I saw her and she's like, yeah, I told my roommate that my uncle is in a screamo band.
You do scream.
And I go, but I was like, oh God. She's like, they didn't look it up. I go, no, I'm just offended that you called a screamo.
Yeah, yeah.
But for someone who's like very, 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 very central, like just civilian, to know what screamo is.
Yeah. Okay.
I feel like it's like, we haven't hit the top of the mountain yet, but we're going to hit it. And then it's going to plummet. And then fucking Drug Church is going to be opening for like Sworn Enemy or something. But like, or you're gonna like hardcore is gonna take back over. Like hardcore is gonna be the leader.
I mean, hardcore is gonna be the leader.
I mean, it is the leader, really.
Yeah, it's gonna be the leading shit in hardcore for some time. But Bob, are you asking, can that shit cross over? Because that shit is that doesn't cross over.
No. You know what I mean. Are they gonna have the ska song that hits? Where's the Can't Wait 1 Minute More? You know what I mean?
I mean, listen, Military Guns in the running, Scowls certainly in the running. You know, not to.
We don't know what Jewel's daddy's got right now.
Well,
that's right.
I personally think, and this is not to knock,
my band.
No, there's bands that I really love. Like Fiddlehead is great, right? And, but in some respects, I'd put Fiddlehead and Drug Church in the same category of less likely to do that. I think that maybe the younger bands, I don't know if them being younger has anything to do with it necessarily, but I think
Scout, I mean, I think a Citizen could have a hit.
Yeah, Citizen's really an interesting band because what they've done is they've just shored up their fans so completely. Mm-hmm. Like there's nobody that likes Citizen that's going to drop off because of a record. You know what I mean? Like, they just have fans. So Citizen is, I guess, low-key or high-key. I don't know what people's perception of the band is, but they're a band as an adult views that idea. You know what I mean? Right. Like, that is a band. So, yeah, Citizen always could, sure. But I think in terms of Super Bowl commercial type of thing that just comes out of nowhere, shocks everybody. I think something like Scowl is the front runner. Military Guns in the Mix, you know. Who are some of the other
Dark Jason Horses? There's Dark Horses out from.
Yeah. So this isn't something that I think has a ton of assailability necessarily, but I think can kind of find strange lanes. Is Show Me the Body. Right. Show Me the Body is not like it doesn't have like that kind of like a tuneful pop sensibility, but it has it does something different that I think you could hear. And everybody, for the record, I know that the top of the mountain is not having a fucking Budweiser commercial. I'm just saying that I'm just saying in terms of
that your local rock station will have it in like,
correct. Rotation. That's it. You nailed it.
Like, and that's the hard question is at this point, like, what does that even mean? But it gets outside of the sphere is the best way I could put it. Somehow finds more ears than it doesn't, because like, you know, Turnstile popped. I mean, they were on like every goddamn late night show, and did they have a song that penetrated mainstream? Kind of not. It's just the band.
No.
They may have, though. I don't know enough radio.
So here's the thing. I don't think so.
They hit that level under, which is like frequent, serious, liquid metal, whatever rotation. Right. They got that audience easy. You know?
Well, okay. So I don't know much about this world other than when Victory was really popping, and they might have been the only label in our world that did that. Although, Tom, you could tell me if Trustkill had a guy. They had
everyone had a guy.
They had a radio guy.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we had a radio guy.
Whose sole job was to sell those bands to radio. I do not know, and I should, but I do not know if that is a thing for the labels of our world in this time, in this moment. I don't know that. And that's not necessarily a bad reflection on any of these labels. The landscape has changed so completely, you know. So I just simply don't know. I'll text both my labels and see what their answer is.
I feel like there has to be, but like there used to be like Concrete.
Yeah,
it was like a place that would be like, you know, I mean, it was all bullshit. They pay, you know, you'd pay money, then you'd get like back that like you were the fourth most added record at college radio this week.
Yes,
yeah. And it's like, oh cool, and you know, like Nothing in Vain was like higher than Korn for 1 week, and then it's like. Mm-hmm. And then we weren't on the list next week. You know what I mean? Like, okay, cool. It's something that you can put on something, but it doesn't fucking matter. But I don't know how many rock stations there are. Like, I feel like rock stations and like middle America are like country stations. Right? Like, is there a lot of like straight up, like we play, you know, after the Stone Temple Pilots block, here's fucking Military Gun. I don't know if there's a place that would do that.
I mean, maybe.
I don't know.
And then what are you, terrestrial radio? I'm not sure the penetration has to audiences that you want. You know what I mean? It's obviously
like Sirius plays like a demo. I feel like Sirius plays everything.
Correct.
Yeah.
And then they would. But terrestrial radio, are you even hitting young people? Like, do young people, like, do people under 20 listen to the radio? Maybe somewhere. All that said, I am very curious, and I would not bet on it, but it's something I'm thinking about. Like, is someone who has the pop sensibility, we see bands out there with the chops, and also the temperament to be unafraid to go, fuck it. let's write the biggest chorus that we can. Go. You know?
That I could see.
So, yeah, that's my question. Patrick, you're dubious. Tom, you could see it.
I could see it. Yeah, I think a band could just be like, fuck it. You know, like we hit the right
sure.
formula. This is it.
I think I could see it too. My big prediction sonically is that we are going to see some pairing off. And whereas I thought, I actually thought 2023 had a really good level of different stuff. Like there was a lot of sixes, some sevens, and a couple eights. In 2024, we might get a nine or two, like a nine, but less in the middle, less sixes. But there might be a few full blast offs. So I'm always excited for that. I like higher highs. And I'm very curious to see if people's dalliance with Street Punk and Oi continues. Because to me, that music, when it's aggressive, when it's pushing, is at its best. I like the hints of melody. I like some of the bands that go full melodic, but you gotta be the best of the best for me to fuck with it. Being just okay doesn't do anything for me. I'm totally apathetic to it. Just my sensibility. So I'm super curious about that world. And those are my main off the dome prognostications. Tom, you want to leave the people with anything here?
Trying to think of some records that I'm looking forward to it. And End It LP.
Yeah, that's.
I don't know if that's even in the makings yet, but hopefully I'm psyched to see what's next for them. I think they got. I think 2023 was real big for them. Mm-hmm. You know, and they got to play a lot of big shows, and the reactions have gotten even bigger, and all that sort of stuff. I'm curious to see what that next record does. So I'm psyched for that. Trying to think what other records that are on the. I mean, there is a. You know, from what it sounds like, there's a Turnstile record. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know how long these things take for bands.
Percolating. We could say it's percolating.
Yeah. The Drug Charge record coming, I'm pretty psyched on.
I think One Step Closer is due for some material. I'm excited for that.
Right. Is there going to be new Anxious stuff for that tour?
I don't know about that. I think they just told me they're writing. I don't know.
Yeah, they're in the writing process. They're not there yet, but maybe this year. Yeah, this year. Okay. Yeah, shout out to the One Step Closer Koyo Anxious tour. That's a cool thing.
That is.
Yeah, cool. I like
those
that.
I think it'll be big. You know what? Here's what I hope, because we said it last week. I hope. I'm not sure, but I hope touring's still the thing. That was a nice little takeaway last year. I think touring was a nice sustainable thing. We saw a lot of it. I think a lot of people had fun. Any shows I went to, which were significantly few, were really fun, except for one or two. But most of them were super fun. So,
what were the ones that sucked?
No. You know what? The shows I went to were all really fun in their own ways. And I think that energy is going to be pervasive. I think we're going to see that. And I hope that it's still... Like, it seems like bands who are kind of still on the kickoff stage of doing what they're doing are being able to do even little things, limited. You know, like, hey, we're flying out and doing a week. We're going to do a long weekend here. Are able to do those things and be viable enough that it's, and I say viable for themselves, to do it and be like, cool, I didn't lose my job. And we didn't lose the van. And we have enough money to pay for our merch. Fantastic. And that's the end of the day. That's one of the big things to hope for.
All right. Here's my question for you guys.
Hit us.
Hit it.
What's the new band, the new of 2024?
Ooh.
Oh.
That's a good question. What's the band that you go, like, this is the new band that's going to be, like, the next thing?
Okay. Scarab, Balmora. There's some stuff I really like. Oh, what's that band? I think Caveman from San Francisco is going to be something. Okay. I think that's going to do something. I think.
Like, what's the next gel? Will there ever be another gel?
Yeah.
There will be.
like a punk band that crosses over to hardcore, punk and hardcore.
Yeah, I don't know if that. I feel like that's such a lightning in a bottle that I don't know if that'll have, like a punk band that happens to around and get huge.
Think about Spy. You know what I mean? They're not the same as Gel, but they're killing it in their own way. You know what I mean? Think about this. Spy's first New York show, they got flown out just to play New York. What? That's amazing. Yeah. So I think we're going to continue to see stuff from the Bay. I think that big boy band who played FYA, I think they're
stealing
already
every show.
I think they're already bigger than people put together.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a whole list in my head, but it's just, it's an interesting question. I think that there's going to be a few bands who level up, but like new, I would like to see Broken Vow pop off. I think that's a band who deserves it. And they just need they're out there working hard. It's
hard.
Yeah. It's fascinating to see when bands who are putting in the work and catching with pocket scenes, when it inevitably comes together, like Broken Vow could have that moment at a couple of the big fests this year, if they get on.
Absolutely.
Because I think of that. I think like, I'll say this, Have Heart was not everybody's favorite band in 2005.
No.
But you went to random cities and they did pretty well. And then all of a sudden, it's like, whoa, they just played Sync with Cali Fest. And that was one of the biggest reactions of the weekend. What the fuck? And a year later, they're the biggest band going. Down to Nothing. In certain parts of the country, you could say their name and people are like, what the hell is that? Never heard of it, you know? But they were blowing up the South. Like, they'd go play Florida to 400 kids on the regular for years before people in the Northeast caught on, and then they did. And it was like, boom, all of a sudden, you know, it was like, oh, DTN does well in Virginia, and then it's like, and down in Atlanta, and down in Florida, and then it's like, and they're doing really well whenever they come out to California. And now, they do. They're one of the biggest bands in hardcore. So I can see a few bands doing that. So shout out to them. Those are my picks right there. It's a couple.
I'm excited to see what's coming. You know, I'm really psyched.
Patrick, got any picks? Band that pops off this year?
Zero.
Tom, final question for you.
Important to see.
Yeah. Should I let Patrick get off with using the words Riz and On God within seconds of each other earlier? Like he's been
in
California for...
I don't think I used Riz.
You did. You used Riz and On God. You apparently are staying at a middle school in Juniper.
He's mid-40.
For real, for real. When I said for real, it was a dig. I was hoping to be able to hit you with some more.
No, man, you don't have that Riz.
Listen. I've got
what about the toilet guy that you're talking about? My last, what is happening?
Skibbity toilet. I've got a 10-year-old in the house. What do you want?
Oh, Patrick, you're so skibbity.
You're so skibbity. You're so, what is it?
Phantom tax.
yeah.